Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good evening and welcome to Sunday Night Live. I am fired up.
And I'm Harold Herrick.
And my name is Fired Up.
Yep, she is.
Better known as?
My fine wife, Beth.
There you go.
But she is fired up. I'm fired up. In fact, I used to have a bracelet, a gold bracelet. And written on it was Fired Up.
That's right.
And I wore.
It was a while ago. We probably have that somewhere.
Somewhere we still have.
Hallelujah.
Fired Up.
Fired Up.
Now I'm fired up with the Holy Ghost.
That's it.
Holy Amen. Ghost and fire. Okay. If you want to be debt free.
Yes.
You must think debt free.
That's right.
If you want to be rich. You need to be a rich thinker.
That's right.
If you want to be successful. You need to think success. And truthfully. If you're overcoming an attack on your health, then you need to be thinking healthy. Hmm. You need to think wellness.
Yes,
you know,
Lord.
Whatever it is you want, that's what you need to be focusing on and thinking about. Because Proverbs 23:7 says,
As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that could be, as she thinketh in her heart, so is she.
He or she.
Doesn't
no
matter.
Shims.
Anyway,
can't believe I said that, but I did.
You need to break some habits, although you may have had some for a while. But you know what? You can break that bad habit.
Jesus Culture has a song that I really love called Break Every Chain.
Yeah.
And that's a fabulous song, and that's what you can do. In order to do that, there's seven things you need to stop doing and seven things you need to start doing.
That's right.
If you want to be a rich thinker.
That's right.
Successful thinker,
mm-hmm.
healthy thinker, or anything else.
Make 2018 the year it happens.
The year of deliverance.
That's right.
From any and everything that would hold you back from fulfilling your divine destiny.
Amen.
First, stop looking back and start planning for tomorrow.
Think of that. In Luke 9, verse 62 in the Contemporary English Version, it says, Jesus answered, anyone who starts plowing and keeps looking back isn't worth a thing. To God's kingdom.
If you want a better tomorrow, I wrote this down. You need to let go of your desire for a better yesterday.
There you go.
Too many people still living in the past. You're not you. See, we can't continually think about what was or what could have been if we want to create a new reality of what will be.
That's right.
So we need to ask ourselves some questions. Do you spend more time thinking about the past? Or planning the future. What are you doing today to ensure? And by the way, this is on your outline and it's on the bottom of the page. Of course, everybody here is already, you already got one. What are you doing today to ensure that you'll have the kind of life that you want tomorrow? Do you know how to get from where you are to where you want to be? Your future will never be found in the past.
That's right.
Never will be. Never will be. But it is determined by what you do today as seeds for your harvest tomorrow.
I mean, think about that. What are you doing today that's going to make your life better tomorrow? Even if it's crushing a bad habit, creating a new habit. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4 in the Living Bible says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. So don't make an excuse about, we're about to get to that. The point is, you can take that thing that has been bothering you and you can attack it and keep attacking it until, you know, don't wait for the just right situation. Today is just the just right situation.
And if you want to create new habits, then you know, just practice that habit every day.
That's right.
21 days in a row, then it becomes
helps
a lifestyle.
It becomes a habit.
If you need help on that, get a copy of my book, Spiritual Entrepreneur, 21 Day Journey to Success.
There you go.
And I'll tell you how to do that. Second, stop making excuses and start looking for opportunities.
That's good.
Stop blaming somebody else for your trouble. And just as bad, stop blaming yourself.
Yeah, that can be worse.
That can be worse.
Than blaming somebody else. Blaming somebody else is bad. But don't, you know, blame yourself.
We need to take our eyes off our failures.
That's right.
And put our focus on Jesus.
Amen.
Because he's the one that get us over it and get us through it.
That's right. 1 John 2, verse 28 in the Message Bible. And now, children, stay with Christ. Live deeply in Christ. Then we'll be ready for him when he appears, ready to receive him with open arms, with no cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when he arrives. Sticking it out with the Lord.
That's the key. And as I've said many times.
Many times.
Posted, tweeted, everything. If you're good at making excuses, that's all you'll ever be good at. Don't make excuses.
Forget excuses.
Make a difference.
That's it.
Make a difference. Ask God to reveal new opportunities to you beyond your natural eye or normal thought process.
Amen.
If you feel like you're being dragged down because of a mistake in the past, make a conscious choice to get past it.
That's right.
Determined to, well, forgive it and forget it. It's over and done. Think of it as an event and not who you are.
I think we need to repeat that one.
You do.
Think of it as an event and not who you are. It doesn't make you who you are. It was something that happened. So you don't have to hold on to it. Use it as a springboard to go forward. When something negative, you know, instead of holding you back, because when something awful's happened to you, and you start to learn from that, and you go, that'll never, I mean, you reach out, we got somebody here tonight who had a negative past, now is out there teaching people how to take that negative and turn it positive in the name of Jesus, fired up and ready to go. Because mistakes are tools that teach us what not to do next time, you know, what not to do. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16 in the Classic Amplified Bible. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthy and accurately. Not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Doesn't mean we have to be evil with them.
Now let me just say, as you were reading that, it says, live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of your time. Now, see, if the scripture says that, it means you can do it.
That's right.
It doesn't mean you're stupid. It doesn't mean you're unintelligent. If it says, if the scripture says, and it does, be as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the most of every opportunity.
Yeah.
That means you can do it.
That's right.
Now, the world may have told you can't, but you can do it.
Ask the Holy Spirit how to do it. There have been scriptures I would look and I go, Lord, I would like to do that. But teach me, show me how to live this way. Show me what it means. Show me the depth of this scripture so that I can walk it out in my personal life.
Here's the deal about opportunity in that scripture. When opportunity comes knocking, you still got to get up off the couch and go answer the door.
There you go.
You got to do it. And you can't let fear paralyze you. Get up
and
get
it.
Going.
That's right.
Get on up
and get going.
Is that Clint Brown?
It could be, yeah.
Get on up. Okay.
It could also be.
Edison once said.
It could also be James Brown, but anyway. Keep going. Thomas Edison once said,
opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
Third, stop complaining about what you don't have and start praising God for what you do have.
Mm-mm.
Feeling sorry for yourself
will
not allow you to have time to feel anything else.
Yeah, it'll take you down quicker than...
I'm waiting.
I don't even want to go there.
Okay.
I mean, it's negative, it's bad, it swirls, and it You know, it's terrible.
See, we have to have an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah, that'll bring you
in
up.
Every situation we face.
Thank you, Jesus.
We really do. You know, for instance, somebody could say, well, I got a flat tire out on the freeway yesterday. I didn't have a jack. I can't afford to buy a new tire right now. I just can't seem to catch a break. You ever heard anybody say things like that? Well, let's look at that from a different perspective. And I put it in your notes so you can see it. First, thank God that no one was hurt when you got a flat tire. Second, thank God that you were able to pull off the shoulder of the highway out of traffic in harm's way. Thank God you got a car.
Amen.
Fourth, thank God that only one of your tires went flat. Fifth, thank God you have three other tires that still work. Sixth, thank God somehow your flat got fixed. Seventh, thank God you or someone else knew how to change a tire. Eighth, thank God you had a spare tire in the trunk. Ninth, thank God the spare tire, I better not say that too fast. Thank God the spare tire was properly inflated. And thank God that no matter what the circumstances,
Amen.
There's always something
yeah.
to thank Him God for. Hallelujah.
That's the truth. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I can tell you by personal experience, when you start thanking God, instead of feeling like the mully grubs, you know, have come in and to stay, if you start thanking God, really, He has a way of just working stuff out. But if you're looking for the negative, believe me, you'll find it. And there was used to be an old saying, I hadn't thought about it in a long time. You know, don't meet a trouble halfway. It has perfect ability to come all the way to you. So you know what? Don't go out there looking for it, because if it wants to find you, believe me, it'll find you.
You need to take the old Elvis song and turn it around.
Okay.
If you're looking for trouble, come to the wrong place.
That's it. Come to the wrong place. We used to say, when the devil knocks on the door, send Jesus to it. Open it.
Better still, take the welcome mat up.
There you go.
So he's not even coming back.
There you go.
Fourth, stop thinking about your financial mess. And start helping somebody else get out of their financial mess. When worrying about problems, stop and shift the focus to being used by God to help someone else solve their problem.
Yes.
It'll become a key to your financial and personal success. We've told on occasion the story of Dr. Carl Benninger, who was a leader in the field of mental health, who once said, somebody asked him, said, what would you do, how would you advise a person if they were on the verge of a nervous breakdown? The person expected Dr. Benninger to come up with some profound psychological insight. But Dr. Benninger looked the person asking the question straight in the eye, and he said, well, I'd leave my house, go across the railroad tracks, find someone in need, and do something to help that person.
Amen. Think of that.
See, the thing that helps every believer in the midst of a crisis is to get eyes off their problem.
That's right.
And on helping somebody else. There's always somebody worse off than you.
Believe me.
So you need to stop, look around, and help them out. And that's really the principle of Ephesians 6:8. Whatever good thing you cause to happen to somebody else, God's going to
do it for you. Think of that.
I vividly remember.
That's right. When we moved to Texas to work for Brother John Abanzini,
we were drowning in a sea of red ink.
Oh, yeah.
We had one nostril above the financial trouble waters, and I'd have to gurgle just to get by. Came home from work one day, and my fine wife, that she is, told me she felt the Lord said that we should pay off the debts of our former babysitter. Being the deep man of God that I was, I asked her if she was sure, reminding her of our own financial situation. Bev was confident about what the Lord had spoken to her, and in her wisdom, she said, all I ask is that you pray. And if God tells you what He told me, we we be faithful to do it. I said, okay. So I prayed, and he did. He told me the same thing. So it wasn't easy, but we paid her debt off in about 6 months.
Somewhere
if
around
I remember
there.
Like that. 6 or 7 months, something like that. And
But he had a reason for it.
He did. Paid them all off 6 or 7 months. The moment we paid off that last debt, there was literally an explosion in our finances. And within a very short period of time.
I don't remember, but we began paying that stuff off, our problems off.
I mean,
off.
Doubling and tripling, and within just a few months, we were completely out of debt, except for the mortgage on the house we had just bought. And we had been...
It had been tough.
Truth of the matter is, the only reason we survived is because my parents owned a restaurant, and we got food out of the restaurant.
Yeah, sometimes.
That's how we survived.
They'd send us home with Sunday dinner sometimes, or leftovers, when we visited them.
Yeah,
it was tough there for a while.
Hallelujah.
But that was when we really realized Ephesians 6:8.
The powerful truth behind it.
That's right. There's a powerful truth behind Ephesians 6:8, and we didn't even know he was teaching us that. If we had not been obedient, you know, he taught us a lot. I mean, we went to Texas to learn finances. I mean, to be working in finance, we had to learn something from all of that. So the Lord himself was teaching us things left and right about how to trust him when it looked like it was very bleak, very bleak. I mean, it doesn't take much sometimes to get in the very bleak. Catastrophic illness, you know, layoff on a job. I mean, it can go south in a hurry. What you learn is to not go south with it.
That's it.
I mean, it's
trust
to
God.
Trust the Lord, keep you know, looking up and realize that you may not see it. You may not see it. You may not see it. But there's an answer out there. And eventually, it will come your way.
As we say, don't trust, you know, don't seek money.
That's right.
Seek God.
That's it.
Then money will follow you.
That's right. Don't chase money. Chase God, and money will start chasing you.
Fifth.
Hallelujah.
Stop accepting things the way they are and start raising your level of expectation.
Yeah. Don't get caught in that, okay, it's never going to happen type of thing. Always be looking and expectant.
So that you can have exceeded expectations.
That's right. Sometimes it's tough. But you know what? You just got to say, you know what? I don't know, Lord, but you. You have an answer, and you're going to show it to me.
And it's a matter of having a spiritual perspective.
Yes.
You know, for the last 5-6 weeks, I've quoted what the Lord said to me. In mid-December, one morning in prayer, he said, don't focus on the problem.
Yeah.
Focus on the principles. Focus on the principles, not the problem.
That's right.
That's what he said.
His principles. His principles.
Yeah, his principles.
They work.
Senator Robert Kennedy used a quote as a theme for his 1968 bid for the presidency. He said, some men see things as they are and say, why? I dream of things that never were. And say, why not? No born-again believer was ever designed or created for a complacent and settle-for kind of attitude. The only way we develop is through just embracing change.
Change is constant.
Yeah. Anyone who sees their lot in life is always the same. You hear what I'm about to say?
This is
poor. Anyone who sees their lot in life always the same is denying the personal change and the supernatural power of God.
That's right. And the potential
and that's a big
that
mistake.
Lies inside of you.
Yeah, big I mistake.
Mean, that lies inside of you.
And what waiting. God's done for anybody else,
that's right.
He'll do for you.
That's right.
Esther.
No matter how it looks at the present. Numbers 23:19, powerful.
Like it.
This is in the New Living Translation. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Think of the promises that we are not grasping that we need to be.
Feeling that you'll never be able to fulfill the things that God stirred in your spirit or the dreams he's given you only means that you've given up and settled for less than his best.
We never need to settle for less than his best, always moving forward.
I think, and I'm going to teach on this. I started writing a teaching today, this morning, stirred in me, called
Don't Put God in a Box.
Don't Put God in a Box.
Don't put God in a box.
And see, that's what we do.
Often.
But we need to talk about how not to do that. See, for me, it's not enough to have Sunday night or every morning with Rich Salts for breakfast, teaching things that are good. We need to help you get from where you are to where God wants you to be.
Amen.
And taking steps to get there. And a big part of that is we get so much in a comfort zone.
That's right.
That we have lowered expectations instead of raised expectations. And the scripture says, when you pray in the mornings, we talked about it this morning on Rich Salts for Breakfast. Two scriptures. One, seek him early. The other one is, lay your expectations before him.
And wait in expectation.
And wait in expectation before him to do something.
Amen. Proverbs 19:21 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand. You know, we want our purpose to be able to come about. So the question is?
The question is, what is it that God sees in your future?
That's it.
That you don't?
Hallelujah.
What is it that God sees in your future that you don't?
3 John 2 says this. Are you ready? Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health. I pray that I'm reading another scripture. I'm going by memory. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. Breaking that down, really, it's really saying that you will prosper in every way and stay healthy as your soul prospers. Because, you know, as your soul prospers on the inside, it actually takes body, mind, and spirit. I mean, everything about you begins to prosper when you're prospering in the Word on the inside.
You effectively raise your expectations when you do that to where you realize there's no limitation.
That's it.
And you can move on.
When I first got saved, I was not really healthy. I was a young girl, too. I mean, I wasn't very healthy at all. And as I got into the Word, my health improved. And it improved and it improved. And my whole spirit improved and my countenance improved. And everything improved because it was the Word coming alive on the inside. And it has to be on the inside before it can manifest on the outside. And I became, now I'm healthy as a horse, as they say.
You're
the healthiest horse.
Look,
so anyway.
God wants us to prosper in every area of our lives.
That's right.
And so that seems to me like he wants he doesn't want everything to remain the same.
Exactly.
You know, he wants us moving on up.
Amen.
From glory unto glory.
Amen. Like it says in Deuteronomy 8:18. I mean, this is what he wants for us. This is in the Amplified Bible. But you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. He gives you the power, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day.
If he gives you the power to get wealth,
to be successful,
truthfully, that should forever establish the fact that he wants you to be an agent of change, to create a better you and a better world around you.
That's right.
That's what he wants.
He says it in the Word.
Yep, he does.
Can't deny it.
Stop thinking about just getting by. Start thinking about getting out of debt so you can be used by God. If you want to avoid becoming financial roadkill. You have to stop allowing the world's financial system to control your life.
That's it.
We've said for years.
That's it.
When you're in debt, your life is not your own.
Wow.
When you're burdened down with payments, all you can focus on is have enough money to make the payments. When you're living day to day, week to week, or even month to month, you'll never be able to help yourself or other people. It's that simple.
Mm. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 through 11 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "For God is the one," you listening to this? "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you." You know, that's just out of thankfulness. "Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous." Isn't it fun to be generous? "And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God." So it's like a progression here, honey.
God is positioning us financially.
That's right.
So that we can bless other folks.
Yep.
Who in turn will thank God for his generosity, his loving kindness.
That's right.
And the faithfulness of his children. It's what he wants.
That's right.
It's what he wants. Our ability to give others to others will have a direct effect on whether or not these other folks praise God.
And can praise
and
God.
We
give them a reason.
Let me
to
say
praise
that again.
God.
Our ability to give others will have a direct effect on other people being able to praise God for his generosity to them. That's true. It's power. It's in the Word.
It is. And, well, not only that, but I mean, you can see it every day. When you're giving to people, when you're giving to missionaries that are coming in and bringing fresh water and saving people's lives, they are thanking God for that. I mean, and people realize that it is God coming to the rescue, you know, and they can praise God for it. It just makes a strong statement for God.
And this can happen or won't happen when we're a slave to the money lenders.
That's right.
Or barely able to help ourselves, let alone anybody else.
And you know, it can start small. It doesn't have to be big. You start by being kind and good to other people, and that is it, and allows you to grow. Philemon 1, verses 6 and 7 in the Message Bible says, "And I keep praying that this faith we hold in common keeps showing up in the good things we do, and that people recognize Christ in all of it. Friend, you have no idea how good your love makes me feel, doubly so when I see your hospitality to fellow believers." You know, we should all be joining in this together. We talk to pastors every week. We go, you know what? We're all in this together. Reaching souls for the kingdom.
Remember the old recruiting poster that said, "Uncle Sam, won't you?"
Yeah.
Well, according to Scripture, God wants you.
That's it.
God wants you. He wants you to be used as a generous, debt-free believer who's bringing glory and honor to his name.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
And amen.
Seventh, stop seeking your personal happiness and start seeking the joy of the Lord. Every time I say joy, I think about our newest grandchild.
Oh.
Symphony Joy.
Symphony Joy.
This joy.
She is a joy.
That I have?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Happiness is situational. It's external. It depends on what happens to you. If you get a raise, you're happy. Your favorite sports team wins,
you're happy.
In which case, yesterday, I wouldn't have been happy because Duke and Carolina both lost.
Mm.
So, you know, I wouldn't have been happy. If your children do well in school,
you're happy.
Happiness is the realization of something that brings you momentary pleasure based on your personal perspective and experiences.
That's exactly right.
If someone in your office gets a raise, they're happy. But if you don't get a raise, chances are you're not happy. Happiness, as I said, is situational and dependent upon the course of human events, as well as your likes and dislikes. There's an exception, only one, And it's a big one. It really is. It's when your happiness is in the Lord.
Based on the Lord. Matthew 5, verse 4 in the Classic Amplified says, blessed and enviably happy, with a happiness produced by the experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of his matchless grace, are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
I should probably point out to you that the word happiness is not in the King James Version of the Bible.
At all.
At all. But there is a word that appears 187 times. Mm. It's joy. Joy.
The next level.
Where happiness is shallow, joy runs deep.
Amen.
Joy is internal. It's resilient. It doesn't just come and go based on circumstances or situations. Mm. God gives you peace and joy, frankly, in the midst of every situation.
Yes, it can.
Why? Because when you know you're a child of the King, you're assured that he will not leave you nor forsake you, even when things look bleak. There's an old gospel song that you and I love.
Love it.
This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Ooh. If you want to hear that song make you shout, go to YouTube, type This Joy That I Have, and I recommend you look at the one by Shirley Caesar.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. It's one we listen to. Mm-hmm. If you're passed over for a promotion at work, the joy of the Lord is still your strength.
That's right.
God gives you God's joy. Mm-hmm. Say it that way. God's joy gives you the ability to look beyond your circumstances to a better tomorrow.
That's right.
Based on his promises.
Based on his promises. Nehemiah 8, verse 10 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, and be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold.
Your joy is not dependent on what you have or don't have.
Yeah.
Or what you or anyone close to you has accomplished. Your assurance is firmly planted. Your joy is firmly from the Lord.
That's it. Planted, yeah. Isaiah 29:19. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The contemporary English version of 29:19 says it this way. The poor and the needy will celebrate and shout because of the Lord, the Holy God of Israel. We just need to shout and be happy in the Lord regardless, knowing that our time is coming, and it will come because of his promises.
If you're poor and needy, sick or broke, you can still have the joy
of
the Lord.
Still have joy.
The joy of the Lord.
He's given us that ability.
Because the joy of the Lord is an internal work with an external manifestation. And the word the Lord is performing in your life every day. Joy has its roots deep, deep in the Word of God.
Amen. God's desire can also be found in Psalm, a very favorite one of ours, 35, verse 27. I don't know how many times we've said this one. But Psalm 35, verse 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant.
Are you surprised I let you do that scripture?
I know, yes.
I like doing that scripture.
Well, I can do fairly well.
Let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause.
That's his
preaching. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified that has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants.
You are.
Hallelujah. You want to see me get my preacher?
I know you can.
I can. Look, we encourage you to meditate on these scriptures in tonight's lesson so that you can fully grasp what you need to start doing.
Yep.
And when you start doing these things, when you create the new habits, the manifestation that's going to come into your life. Yesterday we talked about manifestation with red sauce for breakfast.
Yeah, we did. It was the story of manifestation.
Yeah, yesterday.
yesterday. The
teaching. Need to understand what manifestation is. Manifestation is literally taking what's in the Word of God.
That's right.
And bringing it out and letting it loose in your life.
Woo.
Right here where you are.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's the truth.
That's what manifestation is. You get saved. You know, the Word becomes flesh when you get saved. And when you get healed, the Word
your flesh.
Becomes your flesh, gets healed. Manifestation. God wants to bring manifestation of His blessings into your life.
That's right.
And He can do that through the seven things that we talked about.
Amen.
On this
Sunday night.
Sunday night live.
Hallelujah. January 28th.
These are keys to experiencing a successful life.
If you don't do this and you do that,
mm-hmm.
you can be debt-free and blessed.
Alive when you think rich.
That's right. When you rich thinking.
Rich thinking. When you think about being successful.
Hallelujah.
A life when you think about.
When I think about His goodness and all He's done for me.
I look at you and say, thank you, Lord.
You can be rich in many ways.
I know.
A good spouse.
Yeah. And I was blessed with godly parents.
Mm-hmm. So. Amen for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah.
That's it.
We're finishing a little early.
That's all right.
But I have a deal with the Holy Spirit.
When we're done, we're done.
When He gets through, I quit.
There you go.
So I'm quitting. Make sure you take your mouse and go to haroldherring.com. Up at the top where it says, sow a seed. Just ask God what seed He'd have you put in the ground. Do what He says. Check out this week's two-minute video.
And tomorrow morning.
8:30 Eastern time. Hallelujah. Tomorrow teaching is entitled Overcoming Negative Stuff. Mm. That's the name of the teaching.
And we all, unfortunately at times,
because there are too many nattering nabobs of negativism around. Especially if you watch the news. You know.
Which I make it a practice not to do.
I do too.
But
I used to think I was pregnant because I get sick, morning sickness. Then I realized it came from reading the newspapers, watching the morning news.
There you go. I'm glad you weren't. Be a sensation.
Yeah, it would be.
But God is good
all
the time.
All the time.
You know, when things are...
We love you so much.
We do.
And appreciate you more than words can say.
That's right.
So until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern.
You know who you are. I said, you know who you are.
That's it. Tomorrow morning until 8:30 Eastern time. God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.